let's give the worship team. You guys are awesome. Thank you. I even saw Todd getting excited. I was like, whoa. He had a little dance move going or something. Well, we're continuing our series on freedom. We'll be culminating that with our conference at the end of the month. If you haven't registered, do that. It's going to be awesome. You will love Dr. Nick Goff. He is a blast. So fun. This morning, I want to talk about heaven's language. There seems to be a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about speaking in tongues. And so I want to give you guys what I believe the Bible says. I just believe if you've read the Bible without reading extracurricular stuff, some of the conclusions that I hear today you would never come to. You couldn't come to that conclusion. And so I want to try to bring some clarity to what it is, what it's not, some of the myths, some of the craziness. Todd, when we were, he was younger. I was not still as young. I met Todd when I was the district youth director for Foursquare in Northern California. And Todd came to our camps, and he came from a Mennonite background that didn't talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. So we ran thousands of kids through our camping program. I don't know, 400 or 500 kids at a camp or whatever it was. And kids were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And Todd had never seen anything like it. And he just came up and his eyeballs were about this big. And he goes, "Greg, what's going on?" I go, "I don't know, Todd." He goes, "I'm a Mennonite." I was like, "I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming you haven't seen this." He goes, "Never." And then he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and his walk with Jesus shifted ever since. Amen. So what God did 2,000 years ago, he still does today. So turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I want to talk about the power of heaven's language. And I want to talk about why tongues are powerful. I want to talk about myths, like there's some myths out there. And I also want to talk about why praying in your heavenly language is important and the benefits. So everyone say Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, so Jesus died, rose from the dead, and over the next 40 days, he appears to his disciples. Penta means five. Costas is to the 10th power. So when you hear the word Pentecost, it means 50. Everybody say 50. So some people are like, "Are you Pentecostal?" Oh, I'm older than 50 now, actually. Thank you very much. We, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, have created really big ebbs and flows about all this. And I want to disseminate some of that today. So the day of Pentecost, they were really celebrating harvest. So Jews would have been celebrating the harvest. Jesus, 50 days after his death and resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, he fulfilled the prophecies about the outpouring of his Spirit. Do you guys know that God's really smart, right? How many of you guys know God's really smart? Like, really smart. So if he's going to fulfill something he had spoken about for 1,000 years, he would want to do it on a day when Jews would be at their max capacity in Jerusalem at one of the festivals, right? So Jews came from all over the world for the Feast of Pentecost, and on that day is when God poured out his Spirit. Now, Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, he met with them for 40 days. So we're going to look at the first scripture. Well, the first one actually, Proverbs. I'm sorry, yeah, just leave up Acts. The power of the tongue is important. How many of you guys know the Proverbs says that the power of life and death is in your tongue? Right. Most people I know, we don't mean to, but we curse ourselves with our tongue or our thoughts. We need to stop doing that. We need to speak what God says. How many of you guys know that you're beautiful, wonderful, made in God's image, and that he loves you beyond anything you could dream or imagine? Okay, but if you don't walk that way every day, you're missing something of the kingdom. So God's going to help us get there. Acts chapter 1, on one occasion while he was eating. Everybody say eating. Eating. Do you guys know that we are going to eat with Jesus forever? It's just like heaven's food. I don't know. But it's going to be better than Lucille's. I just know it. I like Lucille's, by the way. So check it out. Jesus is meeting for 40 days, and he gave them this command. Everybody say command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus meets for 40 days, and then the last 10 days, the disciples and 120 others go into an upper room, and they're fasting, praying, and seeking God for these 10 days. And Jesus said, don't you dare go try to do this in your own power. How many of you guys know it would be foolish for us to try to do anything for God in our own power? We will not get very far. So as we look at these different contexts of Scripture, Acts chapter 2, this is the fulfillment. So this is 10 days later. Here's what happens. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one accord. That's my King James Version. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind. Now, watch the different things that are happening. This is in Jerusalem, right? 120 people in an upper room. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews from all over the earth are there to celebrate the Feast of Harvest or Pentecost. All of a sudden, they start hearing. They start hearing this sound. There's a blowing wind. How many of you guys know wind represents spirit? How many of you guys know the Holy Spirit is represented by many different symbols? Wind, oil, fire, rain. How many of you guys know those are all things of the Spirit? I love this year. We really believe last year God said this is the year of freedom. Do you know we've got more rain this year than we've got forever? I believe it's a sign naturally, right? For real. My friend was driving to Menifee yesterday. He goes, Craig, people are pulling over to look at the California poppies because we haven't seen them. Some of us older people will remember. We used to drive through California. California poppies were everywhere. He goes, literally, the freeway is stuck because everyone's pulling over because they literally come up when we haven't seen them. I believe this. God is bringing up the power of his Spirit again to look at and see what can happen. So back into the context, this is what's happening in the room. There's a violent wind that came from where? Where did it come from? Okay, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came on how many? Right? All of them or each one of them, right? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. How many?
All.
Some people in our culture today say the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for all people. I would love to disagree. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as who gave them the ability? Everybody say the Spirit. Okay? God's Spirit gives you the ability to speak in other tongues. Now, some people say, but the gift of tongues is only for certain people. I'm going to get to that later. That's 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. Let me just clarify one thing for you about the book of Corinthians and Paul addressing spiritual excitement in the Corinthian church. Okay? Are all prophets? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. That is the gift of tongues. Paul wrote that 20 years, everybody say 20 years, 20 years after God did this. When you study the book of Acts and the outpouring of the Spirit, everybody gets filled and everybody speaks in tongues. The gift of tongues was an individual gift where a person would speak in a service like this and somebody had to interpret, okay? Two completely separate things, and yet people try to make them the same, okay? So that's just for clarification. Back up to our scripture. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, how many of you guys know they heard it? Come on, you guys. Everybody was hearing this. They heard this sound. What was the sound? It was them speaking in other tongues. Okay, Watch the context. A crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, go back for me real quick. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, hear the them declaring," what were they declaring? What were they declaring? They were declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. So listen very carefully. Thousands of people came from all over the world to celebrate this festival and feast. It was Jews and converted Jews from all over, and all of those languages and more were being spoken. God in his wisdom pours out his spirit that day. And what does he do in that context? He lets a bunch of the 120 speak in their language so that they could hear these Galileans speaking perfect, whatever all these different languages were, and they were worshiping and praising God in their own languages, and it freaked them out in a good way. Amen? Do you guys know 3,000 people got saved that day? Do you guys know that without this sign, 3,000 people were not getting saved that day? Do you guys know God wants to pour out signs and wonders on this earth today so that people will get saved? Do you know that that's one of the major reasons God does signs and wonders? One, it's to heal and touch people because he loves us. Two, it's to be a sign to the culture that he is God. Amen? So as we go through this, I want to break this down for us a little bit. I want to give four types of tongues. So watch. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. It's a sign to the unbeliever. How many of you guys know? We just read that God gave a sign through people speaking in another language. He gave it as a sign to unbelievers to become believers. Amen? We just read that. Number two, tongues for interpretation. I just mentioned that in Corinthians. So in the Corinthian church, and by the way, Paul didn't correct other churches in this way. The Corinthian church was super spiritual, amazing church, but they were getting a little bit out of balance in spiritual gifts, so Paul wrote to them and gave them clarity on that, okay? So when there is a tongue in a setting like this, if somebody spoke in tongues right now, publicly, there should be an interpretation for that, right? Because there is uninformed and unbelievers, that's what our Sunday mornings are. Now, are there times, Pastor, that we can be together as believers in a prayer meeting and pray in the Spirit together or sing in the Spirit together? Everybody say yes. So if you study church history, you will find that the house churches and other churches would have been praying and singing in the Spirit on a regular basis. Well, then why did Paul write that to those Corinthian people? Because they took it to an extreme. Okay, how many of you guys know if somebody walked in this room and all of us were speaking in tongues, it wouldn't benefit that person? How many of you guys know that person would be like, "I don't even know what's going on. I don't understand anything you're doing." And I'd be like, "Isn't it awesome?" They'd be like, "No, I don't understand." It's okay. Try this. Shakatarabaka. Now how do you feel? The exact same. How many of you guys know if you went to somebody else's service that spoke another language, it would not benefit you unless somebody was helping you understand what it meant, right? That's what's going on, okay? So there's, number one, it's assigned to unbelievers. Number two, there's tongue for interpretation. Number three, there's tongues for intercession. Romans 8:26. I love that the Holy Spirit cooperates with us. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes. Who's interceding? Okay? The Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So listen, you guys, God knows that you and I don't know what to pray sometimes. Parents. Oh, come on. Parents. It's my kids. Jesus, I don't know what to do with my child. That alone makes me pray in tongues right there. Just that. I don't know what to do. Okay, for all you holy people that your kids don't have that problem, good for you. God probably did this for us. So check it out. Tongues number three, the third type, is tongues for intercession. In intercession, though, it's also warfare. Say warfare. Your intercession should be fighting war against the enemy. How many guys know about the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6, right? Some of you guys, when you were little in Sunday school, put on the full armor. Do you finish chapter 6? Right? Most times I talk to Christians, they can quote the armor of God for me, but they don't finish the last verse in chapter 6. Watch what it says. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in what? How often? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always and keep praying for all the Lord's people. And pray in the Spirit. When Paul uses that term, pray in the Spirit, he is absolutely talking about praying in tongues. As a matter of fact, Paul, who was not in the upper room, how many of you guys know Paul was not there with those disciples? He got saved later. Paul was the largest advocate for praying in tongues. He actually told all the Christians, I wish you prayed in tongues as much as me. Right? I wish you guys prayed in the Spirit. You should pray in the Spirit on all occasions. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, Paul, right? Some people say, well, those uneducated Christians, they needed to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys know Paul was a highly educated? He was a Jew of the Jews. Come on. Under Professor Gamaliel, he learned all of the law and he walked in it. He was a theologian of his day, and when he met Jesus, not only did he get saved and baptized in water, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes more than anybody in the New Testament about the power of speaking in tongues. Amen? And he talks about how it is a weapon. If you are finding you're not getting breakthrough in your life and you're trying to put on the armor of God, I challenge you in love, learn how to pray in the Spirit. It's for real. So number one, sign for unbelievers. Number two, tongues for interpretation. Number three, tongues for intercession and warfare. Jude 20 says this, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in what? Okay, so Jude, this is half brother of Jesus, right? I'm sorry. Dear brothers, friends, building yourself on the most holy, pray in what? Pray in what? Okay. Church, I just believe this with all of my heart. When you and I will learn, most of the time, the high percentage of the time, praying in the Spirit is your warfare. It's how you learn to fight. It's how you fight for your family and intercede for things and stuff in your life when you don't know how to pray. Then there's times corporately we come together. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Amen? Some of you, we need to get your testimonies on video of how you prayed in the Spirit. Because I know your story. I just heard another great story this morning after first service. One of our security guys, Pastor, I need to tell you how I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because I was one of those guys you talked about that was a total anti-speaking in tongues guy. But one day God was speaking to me and I fell on my face and God just baptized me in the Holy Spirit. It was amazing. If you're hungry and you're humble, God will fill you. I believe that. I really do. Well, how come sometimes I've tried before and it didn't happen? I don't know. I've never seen anybody long term that wanted to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit over a certain period of time not do it, personally. I've watched thousands and thousands and thousands of people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Talk about that later. I want to give you guys a few quick myths. Here are a few of the myths about speaking in tongues. You can't control it. You ever heard that one? Anybody? Right? You can't control it, man. It's just going to come out of you. Okay? I'm going to ask you, and we're in a charismatic Pentecostal church. Have you ever seen that happen? Have you? Well, some people say, well, I saw a video and these people, well, just because they were doing this, does that mean you don't have control? Are you kidding? Have you ever been in the grocery store and somebody just started busting out in tongues? Listen, your will, right, is your will. People say, what is God's will for my life, Pastor? God's will is your free will. You can choose to move in the power and the gifts of the Spirit, not just speaking in tongues. How many of you guys know God commands us to all be witnesses? God commands us to go witness to people and make disciples. Have you ever been in the store and that gift was out of your control? And you were at work and all of a sudden you don't even know what happened? And all of a sudden you're just walking by your coworker and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to tell you about Jesus. Jesus died for you. And if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to go to hell. It's the real story. You got to do it. Come on. How many of you guys know that doesn't happen? How many of you guys know you choose to either witness to somebody or you don't choose? It's the same with the things of the Spirit. Why on earth would Satan make praying in tongues such an issue when he doesn't about all the other gifts seemingly? I would tell you because there's life and death in your tongue. I would tell you it's because God gave you power and you don't know what to pray and he will intercede through you and for you. Myth number one, it just happens. Crazy. I'm not trying to be mean. I've actually listened to people say that. And then if I asked them, I said, where did you see that? I saw it on a video. Okay, so you saw a church that's super charismatic and you don't know what kind of service it was and they were all speaking in tongues and maybe getting blasted by the Holy Spirit. Why do you think that they were out of control and couldn't do that? You just assumed that. Did you go talk to them? Did you meet with them? I don't know anybody that just says, Pastor, I pray in tongues a lot and I just can't control it, man. I don't know what to tell you. It's just bizarre. I'm just literally driving down the street and boom. I'm not being, that's like crazy to me. Why? It's trying to put fear in people. It's crazy. If you speak in tongues, here's another myth, that you'll fluently, immediately have this flowing language. No, you might have one or two syllables. In 35 years, I have prayed in I don't know how many dialects now. I've woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning praying in some sort of Asian dialect. I don't know what it was, but it was just like sounded very Asian. And I know God was having me intercede. I believe this. If you will yield your life to the Spirit and pray in the Spirit when he leads you, I believe this. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have, I know Asians and Africans, because I have prayed in those two dialects like crazy at times. I guarantee people are going to come and hug me in heaven and go, thank you. God showed me, you prayed for me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you didn't roll back over and go, oh, that's just weird, bad pizza. You interceded, and there was a spiritual war over my family and my village. And God broke through because you were willing to pray about something you didn't know. And my family got saved because of you. And I'm going to be like, that's so awesome. Pray in the Spirit. Okay? If God wants me to pray in tongues, he'll do it. What? He's going to grab your mouth? Like crank it open and grab your tongue? I don't know why we say this about tongues. We don't say that about anything else. It just trips me out that people say that. Everybody say, I'm in charge of my life. I have free will. That's clear. You can if you want, or you don't have to. If you have questions, let's have a dialogue. Don't let some people freak you out or have context that need to be looked at closer. Amen? God's not going to make you do anything. But I know this, he sure wants you to. And I don't mean just speak in tongues. I mean he wants you to witness to people. He wants you to lay hands on the sick so they get healed. He wants you to prophesy into the hearts and lives of people. When we ran camps in Northern California, we used to go to Utah every winter to do winter camps. And it was so fun because I would get to take a team. And we, one of the things we would do every year, we would go tour the Mormon temple. Now, you can't get in. I don't know if you guys know this. Unless you're a card-carrying Mormon, you can't get into the holy, holy temple. I don't know if you guys know that. They have gun-carrying guys that if you try to go into their like inner temple thing, my sweet Mormon friends, I don't know, are you going to shoot a brother, really? But you get to do the tour, right? They have this whole tour you get to go on. So guess what? Our team didn't walk in there and go, now this would have been me when I first got saved because I was ornery, right? I'd be like, let's go in there. And then the guys go out on the mission field. The girls usually work at the temples and tour you at the temples, right? So these girls would take us on the tour and they'd show us all these things and it was really fun. But we didn't do this. Well, when we get to this stage, let's all get in a circle around her and pray in tongues. How many of you guys know that would freak her out? And we would be like, that's right. No, you know what we did? God, give us a word of knowledge. Give us a word of wisdom. Download prophetic insight. I can't tell you. This was so crazy amazing. Sharing, they're talking, and all of a sudden we're like, hey, can we talk to you for a second? I feel like the Lord said that your sister's in deep trouble. All of a sudden, tears. How do you know that? Because God told us. And different team members would start sharing. Here's what happened. When the tour kind of stops, I mean, they're dialed in their security. Within 2 minutes, three security dudes with the earpieces are standing right behind us listening in what's going on. When we kept praying and this girl's crying, because they didn't know why she's crying. Like, are we picking on her? No, God's revealing his love to her. And she's getting a download from heaven that maybe there's something more than she's known her whole life. That's where God would want you and I to walk, okay? So don't use your spiritual language to try to prove how spiritual you are. That's not even the point, amen? So God literally has these different areas of wanting to release. So I want to wrap it up by talking about some of the benefits of speaking in tongues. Number one, let's talk about one of the benefits. First of all, it's a language. Everybody say it's a language. Sometimes it's a known language that people can understand. Other times it's a heavenly language. Well, is it a known language somewhere in the world? I don't know. I've heard crazy stories. I've been places and you pray in tongues and all of a sudden somebody from someplace I've never even heard of goes, you're speaking my language. And you're like, what? I thought it was like an unknown. Nope, that's my tribal dialect, right? And you're like, wow, how good is God that he would give you a dialect that would touch a heart, right? So it's not just Babel. Everybody say Babel. It's not Babel. I'm going to come back. That's why I'm saying that to you. It's a language of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For anyone, say anyone. How many of you guys know that's all of us? If you want to do it, you can. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to who? If you speak in a tongue, who are you speaking to? Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by what? Okay, so watch this. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking directly to God by his. Speaking in tongues is to God by his Spirit. You're not babbling. You're not making this up. It is to God by his Spirit. Amen? Go to Genesis chapter 11. It's a pure language. This is amazing. Genesis 11 is a story about the Tower of Babel. And it says this, now the whole world had one language and one common speech. Now go to verses 4 through 6, please. Then the Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. The word confuse there in the Hebrew is the word Babel. Now listen, the earth had one language. I don't know what language Adam and Eve spoke and the people up until this time. I'm assuming it was some beautiful heavenly language when God came and communicated. Some people say, well, I think it was Hebrew. Don't want to be technical, but Abraham didn't even come until chapter 12 of Genesis, okay? So I'm assuming maybe not. I think those languages came after there was this division. Here's what's crazy to me. They were in one language and one accord. And God said, if they stay like this, there's nothing they aren't able to do. So listen carefully. The city they were building, you guys, was not for God. I'm wondering if they would have been building that city for God if he let them stay with one language. They would have accomplished amazing things in the kingdom. Maybe you and I are supposed to be praying in a heavenly language because when we do, we can accomplish a lot. So God comes down and he said, I believe he and Jesus. When we get to heaven, do you hope you get to see video of certain things? Do you want to see video of creation? Dude, I swear, I just want to watch when God starts speaking and billions of galaxies are forming. I just want to watch it. I want to watch the Tower of Babel. Some of you are like, that's kind of mean. I'm sorry. I just want to watch when all these people had one language. What? Come on. When you read your Bible, put yourself in the story. How crazy. Everyone speaks the same language. All of a sudden, God comes down and goes, what happened? Okay, this section, Chinese. This section, Japanese. Spanish, German. How did he do? You guys don't trip on that at all. You guys are like, what? I don't know. I'm going to go watch a movie. It's better. Are you kidding? That's the best movie ever. I want to go watch. I think people were freaking out. So watch. Babel, you guys, in this context is a word play. It literally is the word confused. Listen to this carefully. Babel is translated as Babylon everywhere else in the Old Testament. Babylon becomes symbolic of the human opposition to God. Listen very carefully. The Tower of Babel, confused language. From that moment on, every time you hear the word Babel, it actually becomes Babylon. You guys read the book of Revelation? Did you ever notice the Bible talks about Babylon the whore? Do you guys know that those are the antichrists, right? Do you guys know that the Tower of Babel was, even though Christ wasn't revealed yet officially, they were anti-God. They were building a city where God was not in. He created them, but in no time, they didn't want anything to do with God. Okay? How many of you guys know that's real in the culture we live in? God wants us to build a city. It's called the New Jerusalem. He wants us to cooperate with heaven and get into one accord and into one place. The best way I've ever seen this happen and know how is when you and I learn how to pray in the Spirit, and that before you come to church and on your way to church or whenever in your prayer closet, you're praying in the Spirit. It does something about uniting our hearts together. Now, come on Thursday nights, because we call that a believer service, we actually pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit. You should hear Christy sing in the Spirit. Here's the one place people let me sing. You guys know I'm a little bitter. I'm getting healed. I'm just saying. 20 years, they still don't let me sing. People have really said this for real. No joke. I'm like, hey, I think, you guys will never let me. Hey, pastor, you sing really good in the Spirit. I'm like, is that like a backhanded compliment? Because I'm not even sure what you mean by that. I just think you're telling me I don't sing good and you're trying to be nice. Thank you for nothing. Let's all stand together. Zephaniah chapter 3. The prophet Zephaniah. Many years after Babel, for you guys that know Israel's history, right? Israel's up and down all the time. God delivers, they serve God for a minute, then they don't serve God, right? Then for sometimes hundreds of years, they're away from God, and in his kindness, he reaches back down. It's humankind, it's how we live. It's called Christianity today, right? People do good for a minute, then we're kind of out there. God's asking all of us to always search our hearts and to come. And Israel's history, they were just messed up. So God went from the historical books, then he went to the prophetic books. And Zephaniah was a prophet. And in this part of Zephaniah, he's calling Israel, and he's prophesying of what would happen one day to bring Israel back together. And this is what Zephaniah the prophet said. For then I will restore, everybody say restore. Then I will restore to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with what? Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? I believe this. Zephaniah was prophesying about the day of Pentecost. And God would restore. He didn't say he would give them a new language. Zephaniah said God will restore a language. I believe our tongues is a heavenly language or languages that God uses. So this morning, I want us to pray. Now some of you, here's where some of you would start, oh, that freaks me out. Why? I think it's okay to ask a question or have thoughts, that's great. But if there's something in you that is becoming anti, ask Jesus to help you right now. Because I just gave you the best breakdown of his word I know. Right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for how many? Everybody say all. Right? They all spoke in tongues. Right? Acts chapter 10. Do you guys remember Peter went to Cornelius' house? Guess what the sign was? The Gentiles. Remember this. Acts 10. Jews did not accept Gentiles. Most of us in this room are Gentiles. Very few of you would actually be Jewish in this room. Up until Acts 10, according to our Jewish Christian brothers, they said, we ain't in. This is only for us. We're the chosen ones. You're not. Peter goes to a Gentile's house through three visions, goes to their house, and first thing he says to this Roman citizen, he says, I'm not supposed to be here. Jews don't go to Gentiles' houses. Why did you send for me? I was fasting and praying, and an angel of the Lord said, go get a man named Peter, literally at Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa. At that time, I was on the roof, and God brought down three visions telling me that nothing that he says is clean is unclean, talking about Gentiles. Peter walks in, and he starts telling them about Jesus. The Bible says that there was a crowd of people in this house. He starts telling them about Jesus. And the Bible says all of the Gentiles started speaking in tongues. Peter did not even get to the altar call yet. This messes some pastors up. They weren't even saved. How many of you guys know their heart was saved? Do you guys know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's drawing you, that means your heart's good towards God and he wants to give you revelation. It said everyone in that house spoke in other tongues. And Peter said, how can we deny? How can we deny that God wants to save every human being because they received the same gift that we received? So Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name. Here's what I want to do. Close your eyes. In just a few minutes, we're going to release those of you that need to go, and we get that. But for those of you that are saying today, Pastor, I would really like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if it's for all people, I really would like to pray in the Spirit. Some of you today would say, Pastor, I've tried it, but it didn't work, so I decided it's not for me. That's just not true. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for real. You shut yourself in with God. If you say, Pastor, I've never prayed in tongues, or you might say, I did, but it was a long time ago, and I really don't do it, I'm going to ask you to come right up here and stand with me because I want to pray with you. I want you to start moving. I know some of you are going to be slow because the enemy's like, oh, what will people think? First of all, everyone should have your eyes closed unless you're walking. If you're walking, open your eyes. Thank you for laughing. That was funny. How many of you guys know we can have fun in church and even laugh when Holy Spirit comes? Come on. Now listen, I'm going to encourage you guys. Just come stand right up or just stand right here. I know there's a lot of you. Keep praying. I'm encouraging you, don't look around, because as soon as you start looking around, it's distracting. You talk to God. In your heart, do you want the fullness and the power of His Spirit released in speaking in tongues? Then come up here. I don't know how many came for a service. It was amazing. I just know how the devil is. He's in some of your brain going, well, I don't know. And I don't. Listen, if it is the power you need, then ask God to give you the grace to come. Some of you haven't prayed in the Spirit, or some it's been a long time. Look, I release grace to you. Some of you might have questions about it. It's okay. I'm going to ask prayer teams, some staff and others come. Others of you are thinking about it. You can come up anytime, okay? You can come. I'm going to ask others to come. Come on, I want staff and some leaders to come. We want to pray together. If you're out there still and saying, oh, you know what, I think I want to come. Come, it's okay. Like, seriously, no problem, just come. I'm going to give a little bit of instruction. Listen, if you have to leave, we love you, for real. Like, we bless you. If you're here today and you're like, man, I need God. If you haven't done that before, please patiently wait. We'll be done in a few minutes here. I want to talk to you, really. If you say, I don't really know God, but I want to know Him, hang out for a few minutes and I would really love to talk to you, okay? Listen, if you have to go, then we bless you, right? We love you. But if you can stay, many of you pray in the Spirit. I'm going to ask you just to start doing that. Just out where you are right there, okay? And if you have to go, we bless you. We love you. But for the rest of us that are here, I want you just to start opening your mouths and speaking to the Lord. Just in your known language, just open your mouth. Just start talking to Him. Just tell Him you love Him. Speak, just speak. I've led thousands and thousands of people in what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What I do know is God's not going to open your mouth for you. You open your mouth and just speak. If you say, well, I'm not getting any other language, it's okay, speak in your known language. Just start lifting your mouth. Just start literally opening your mouth and just praying and just blessing Jesus. And we're going to start praying. In a minute, I'm going to turn my mic off and we're going to start praying for you. But if you get a syllable, then say that. The very first time I spoke in tongues, Okinawa, Japan, I was seeking for months. And all of a sudden in a service, come on, keep praying. In a service, all of a sudden, I got one syllable. I got so excited. I said, I'm going to run to my pastor to tell him. I was so excited. But literally, our church was tiny. He was 10 feet away. In 10 feet, the devil already put a lie in my brain. Oh my gosh, don't tell him. It's just you. You're just making this up. That's gibberish. You're like idiot. And all of a sudden, I go up to him and I go, hey, I think I got it. And here's what, I don't know if it was this way. This is what I remember. I felt like I looked at my pastor and went, duh. Here, I got it. Ready, pastor? Are you ready for this? Duh. And the devil's, I'm sure it wasn't quite as bad as, how many guys know the devil wants to make things worse than they are? All of a sudden, he's praying for me. And over the next season, I started to pray more and more. In the last 30 years, I don't know how many dialects I've prayed in. I don't know how long, but you guys, it's like growing in a language. No kid knows a language when you're teaching a kid a new language. That's where they start. So you guys, listen, open your mouths right now. Come on, just start speaking. Come on. This is key, you guys. You have to open your mouth and just start praying. And I believe this. God will release spiritual syllables in you. So I'm going to come. I want you guys to start praying in the Spirit, right? For those out there, start praying, please. If some of you want to come and help us pray, please do that. But just start listening. Just start praying. Come on. Open your mouths. Let syllables flow. All right, keep praying, you guys. I'll come back in a minute, but come on, lift your voices.